Blog Talk Radio.
I hear the spirit ministering to me. And as the Spirit ministers to me, I speak it to you. And so I get excited because I'm always excited to hear how God is going to deliver his word. I'm always excited to hear the rhema word. I want revelation knowledge. I don't want to just hear the letters. I want to revelation knowledge. I want the tangible word, the word that's transforms, that delivers, that sets free. I want the word that inspires, that is fire. I want the word that's going to cause change, that's going to shift paradigms. I want the word of God that's unveiling constantly. So I am excited. I know that the Lord has a message for us on tonight, and it's through my own personal journey and my own personal journey that I believe this message came up, because I believe that he was speaking to me. And so, again, I'm being transparent of the conversation that he spoke to me, and I believe that he has given me permission to release that conversation to you all on tonight, and I believe that it's going to bless all of us. I was having a conversation with a family member on yesterday evening, and the conversation began to kind of grieve my spirit, because the family member sounded so depressed, and they were holding on to the pains of lost loved ones, and they were holding on to the uncertainty, and they were, fearful of COVID and fearful of traveling and fearful of going. And as I listened to them speak, I realized that they were in captivity. I realized that they had been imprisoned by our social agenda. I realized that they had been entangled. And so as I heard their voice and realized that they were in captivity, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And even though I didn't have the same, some of the same concerns that they had, I realized that I was a captive too, that I had been in captivity, that March 2020 began to change a lot of us, began to change our thought process, it began to change maybe the way we did things or the way we do things. It began to change things that maybe we were disciplined in, and we started losing our discipline and, our lifestyles and things that we were accustomed to doing. I myself am a traveler. I like to travel. I made a assertive effort annually to, go out of the country at least twice a year and make sure my family goes out of the country at least once a year, family trip, and then it's just a mom trip by herself. But these were things I had become accustomed to. I live 2,000 miles away from my family members, and so I had become accustomed to jumping on a flight and going to visit my parents and my siblings or who are family members that are in California. I was coming every month, like clockwork. I was finding myself coming to California, and then March hit, and that travel ceased. It was, it wasn't happening. I hadn't been home in like 6 months, and I just went about a month ago. But still, it changed my life. Things begin to change. And so what I noticed in that change, I picked up some bad habits. I became undisciplined. And so tonight I believe that the message that we're going to have on tonight is going to cause us to do some self-reflecting. It's going to cause us to take a look at some of the habits and some of the behaviors that we may have picked up through this pandemic, or we may have had before the pandemic, and we're going to talk about those, and we're going to see how we could get back on track. How can we get ourselves back to being disciplined, The message on tonight is freedom requires discipline. Freedom requires discipline. Last week we talked about, we came from Proverbs 29:18, where we talked about where there is no vision, no revelation. The people cast off restraints, and, you know, the Holy Spirit was showing us that when we lose vision, when we lose focus, our focus and vision should be God. And when we lose focus of God, our kingdom assignment, that we begin to cast off restraints, and we've seen that as, and we used examples that the cast off of restraints was, the restraints were meant to put, keep us in order, to keep us within our boundaries, to keep us morally upright. And we've seen that when people started losing vision of God, that they began to become chaotic, that the restraints were cast off. People were doing what they want to do, how they want to do it. You know, they were living their lives for themselves and not for God. And we see that in the world today. And so we talked about that on last week, and I believe that this is really not a separate message from that. I believe that this is just takes us to another level in what we talked about last week, because last week we talked about no vision, no revelation. We lose restraint. We become undisciplined. We become undisciplined, and we begin to just kind of like lackadaisical, no structure. And I think this is a spinoff. So freedom requires discipline as a spinoff from last week. And so we need to know this. We need to know it. I have not arrived. I'm not saying I have arrived. This message is just as much for me as it could be for some of you. I know that I have lacked discipline over the last several months. How do we know that we lack discipline? How do we know that we lack discipline? For me, I know I lack discipline because I can look at me. I can look at the weight gain. I can look at the things that I do. What's consuming me? You know, what are the things I'm paying more attention to? What, not even so much the things that I'm doing, but what am I not doing? Amen. What am I not doing that shows a reflection of my discipline? I don't care what you say. People can look at us, and people could tell when we're people of if we're disciplined or not. People could tell if we're disciplined or not by looking at us. What do you mean, Coach D? If I look at someone, if I see someone, maybe let's just say I'm using weight because that's the obvious, that's the visual, that's the visualization that we see. We could see somebody that's overweight. We could see someone that's out of shape. We can see those things. So when we see those things, the first thing we think is, okay, what are they eating? Do they not exercise? Do they not have a great diet? What are the things that they're undisciplined in? Okay? And so tonight we're going to get into that. This is not a beat-up session at all. This is just something to just kind of encourage us, get us back on track, get our vision back, you know, get our vision back. Put back on our restraints. When I'm thinking of restraints, I'm not thinking like handcuffs. I'm not thinking like captives. I think the ability to not be disciplined, the ability to not be restrained is captive. You become a hostage to whatever that thing is. You become captive. So I'm going to just go to Isaiah 61, chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read from the NIV. Again, that's Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. And the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom of the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Father God, we want to thank you in advance for your word on tonight, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are sovereign. Father God, we thank you that there is hope in you. And Lord, we thank you for this revelation knowledge, this rhema word, Father, that you would provide on tonight. Now, Father God, I submit myself completely unto you, dying completely to my own thoughts, my own flesh, Father God, so that your spirit, Father, will rise up on the inside of me, Father. And Father God, give to your people the very thing that they need on tonight, Father God, that thing that will come in and penetrate, Father God, and begin to transform us, that we not just be hearers of the word, Father, but, Father God, that we will be doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, welcome on tonight, and thank you for joining us. We're going to get into this. We came from Isaiah 61, and God got some things for us. He's given us. He's anointed. He's anointed to proclaim the good news. There's good news. There's hope. For those of us who feel like we've fallen from grace, that feel like we've become so undisciplined, that our lives are chaotic, how did I get to this place? I had I'm just telling a funny story, but I'm being transparent. I don't care. Enemy, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm telling my story. I'm telling the truth. I'm telling you about my stuff. I'm telling you about the thorns in my side. Amen. Because there is deliverance in telling. Revelation 12:11, as I say often, that we overcome him by the blood of the what? The Lamb. That's Jesus. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. So first of all, we got to overcome because we have a union, a relationship with Jesus. The second is by the words of our testimony. We cannot allow the devil to cause us to be ashamed of our journey, of our tests and our trials. We have to be able to share our testimonies, how God brought us through, how God corrected me, how God guided me. I have to tell that testimony because there's somebody else out there that's going through, and they may have not gotten to where they needed to be. They may still be at the bottom of the hill trying to make it up, and they may feel like they can't go another step. They may feel like this is it. I need to die. I can't take no more. I need to kill my, whatever the case may be. So your testimony could be key to somebody having hope, to be key to somebody saying, I could live another day, to be key for somebody to know that God is real. Amen. So it said again, they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they didn't love themselves unto death. And I believe that part to be the revelation for me in that end part is this, that we can't be, this is not about us, and we can't love ourselves so much that we're scared of what people will think about me. What is somebody going to think about Coach D if she's undisciplined? What is somebody going to think about Coach D if she struggles in a certain area? What is somebody going to think? What is somebody going to say? I don't care what people think, because for the three people that think the negative, there's going to be somebody that could receive it and that it'll be a blessing to. Amen. So that's what we want to be. We want to be able to be a blessing to others by being obedient, because it's not even our testimony to keep. If you have a testimony of something that God brought you through, guess what? It's not yours. It's his. So you don't even have a right to keep it or hold on to it. Amen. So let's get to some things. First of all, one of the things I liked about Isaiah, and I believe why God led me to Isaiah, he said that he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives. The word captive just really stood out for me, you know, because I thought when you think of captive, you think of something that's being confined. We could be captive to all sorts of things in our life. I mean, I could be captive to food. We could be captive to drugs, alcohol, impurity, exercise, religion, family, work, fear. We could be captive to seeking thrills. You know, you got people like jumping out planes and bungee jumping and zip lining. You know, we could be captive to that. And there's so many other things that we could be captive. We got people that's captive to depression, that they're gripped. They're imprisoned by depression and darkness and isolation and loneliness. You know, we got people that's captive to so many things. And so We want to see. We know we want to be set free. We want to be set free. And some of us is captive and don't even know it. Some of us been in prison for so long that we don't even realize we're in prison. It's just the norm. I'm in this box. But this, it's the norm for me because I always do it this way. I've done it this way for years. My mother did it this way. My mother's mother did it this way. And my mother's 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 mother did it this way. So I'm in prison to this mindset. I'm in prison to this thought, this pattern, this predicament. I'm in prison to it. And so I'm captive. And we don't want to be captive no more because captive is, you know, captive, being in prison, being confined is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. And many of us are in those situations. Captive means to be imprisoned, okay, or confined. Confined, limited, or restricted to an area. And so, we're saying many of us is captive in some way or form. Some of us is captive to past relationships. The relationship has been over. It's been severed. It no longer exists. And yet, we are still captive by it. We find ourselves still wallowing in the pain of it. We're still in pain from what that previous relationship did. We're still wondering what that person's doing or who that person is with or why the relationship didn't work. And I mean, some of us, it's been years, but we're still captive. Amen. We want to be set free on tonight. We want to be set free on tonight. And as I began to study this and realize that that captive was sticking out and realizing that we could be captive to so many different things, everybody had that their own thing that keeps them in prison and captive. But as I was studying that, what dropped in my spirit is this, is that in order to be set free, we have to have discipline. We have to have discipline, and we got to understand discipline. Discipline is correction or regulation of oneself for the sake of improvement. Let's say that again. Correction or regulation of oneself for the sake of improvement. In simplistic form, discipline is delaying self-gratification. The ability to make yourself do things that should be done. Discipline is the ability to make yourself do things that should be done. Discipline is a concept that everyone is aware of. We all hear about discipline. And normally when we think about discipline, and I'm, you know, the first thing when you hear the word discipline, if you hear it in the now, you think about punishment. You think about how you discipline a child, how you make them do what you need them to do. You think about, it always seems to be with punishment. But tonight I want to talk about discipline as it pertains to self-gratification, how to delay self-gratification, how to make ourselves do what we should be doing. Amen? That's what we want to talk about. We want to be able to understand that one of the things I found that most successful people, if you listen to their testimony, if you listen to them talk about how they got to where they were, I guarantee you that it was never with the lack of discipline. It has always been discipline that got them to where they had to be, you know, to their success. It was a daily discipline. They began to build good habits. They became disciplined to build these habits, and it was very vital in their success. It became a very vital part of their success because I'm telling you, when you're not disciplined, you'll do anything. I'm going to show you what the lack of discipline looks like. The lack of discipline looks like that you've been talking about starting a business. You've been, you know, you've had a dream and a vision. You want to start a business. And so you talk about starting a business and you just talk about it, you talk about it, you talk about it. But when you get off of work and you get off of work at 5 o'clock, at 6 o'clock, you find yourself sitting in front of the TV with the remote. So you're looking at all the different shows, the different sitcoms, the different series, the different reality shows. You're looking at all of this, but you know you should be on your computer doing research. You know you should be developing a business plan. You know there's some systems you need to put in place. But instead of doing that, you're spending your free time being undisciplined. Amen. And so the result of your business being started, the result is not getting started. Why? Because you haven't disciplined yourself. You haven't invested. You're investing in the wrong things. So we have to be disciplined. Now you see why we have to be disciplined. Because without it, we can't be successful. Without discipline, you won't reach your goals. I don't care how much you set goals for yourself. I don't care how much you say, well, by this month, I'm going to lose this amount of weight. By this month, I'm going to start eating right. By this month, I'm going to. By this month, I'm going to. You can set these goals all you want. But if you haven't determined in yourself that you're going to be disciplined, that you're going to delay self-gratification for the greater good, then guess what? You're not going to reach your goals. Why am I saying that? Because I have had moments, I've had times, I have times where I have not reached my goals in life. I have not reached my goals. Why? Because I haven't been disciplined enough to do what I need to do to reach those goals. And some of you are that tonight. If you be real with yourself, you can ask yourself, some of you aren't. Some of you are great. You're disciplined. You reach your goals. You continuously reach your goals. But some of us haven't. Some of us have missed our goals continuously. And we haven't had the fulfillment to be able to see the manifestation of dreams and visions come to life because we have not been able to be disciplined enough to reach our goals. Amen. And I want to speak tonight prophetically that this is, you're listening into this message on tonight. I don't care where you're listening from. I'm going to speak in the atmosphere that this is a season for you of discipline. This is a season of you for discipline, and you're going to begin to see the manifestation of those, some of those God-given dreams, visions, and ideas come to pass. I'm speaking that into this atmosphere on tonight that we're going to be disciplined and we're going to begin to see us reaching our goals. We're going to begin to see it, and we're going to not just see it on the inside, but we're going to begin to see it manifest on the outside. What are those things that you've been dreaming of? What are those things that you've been envisioning? You know, it could be something as simple as, man, I want to see myself getting 8 hours of sleep. Let's just start with some small things. Some small things. It may be simple and simple. I want to just be more disciplined. That I don't want to wait and go to bed at 11 and 12 at night. I want to go to bed at 9. So now I'm disciplining myself to go to bed at 9. You know, one of the things that I find that's easy for me and what I like to do is when I think about being disciplined, and when I go into those moments where I know I need to shut down because I done got too undisciplined, the first thing I begin to think that I have to discipline is my flesh. Normally, when we have a lack of discipline, it generally always got to do with the flesh because the flesh want to do what the flesh want to do. Amen. When the flesh want to go to sleep, it don't care where it's at. It could be in the middle of an important business meeting, and guess what? The flesh will go to sleep on you. If you're not disciplined, that flesh will do what it want to do. It will go to sleep on you. If you're not disciplined, believe it or not, and I know this is going to sound probably a little gross to some people, but we're all adults, right? So the flesh, we have to discipline it. If you don't discipline the flesh, it will release gases from any different direction. It could come from your mouth or somewhere else, but you got to be disciplined for that not to happen. You got to be conscious for that not to happen. So our flesh will do what it want to do. It will go to sleep on you. You could be driving, and you got to drive from one distance to another distance, and if you're not disciplined, that flesh will fall asleep. So you see what I'm saying? The flesh, it just wants what it wants when it wants it. When the flesh is hungry, it wants to be fed. When the flesh want to go to sleep, it wants to go to sleep. When the flesh will do what it want to do. So we have to begin to discipline. And the first part of disciplining is disciplining our flesh. How do we discipline our flesh? How do we begin to get our flesh where we need our flesh to be, where we begin to take control and not our flesh? One of the things I do is fast. Fasting is a great way to get a hold of your flesh. to take control of your, it's by fasting. And it doesn't have to be serious. You don't have to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. You know, some people say, well, I have to, you don't have to fast. You know, you could fast by just disciplining your flesh or disciplining the desires of your flesh. And that could be, you know what, from this time to this time, I won't watch TV. So for the next 3 days or the next 7 days, I'm going to set aside a time where I'm not going to go home and immediately cut on the TV. I'm going to go home and I'm going to set aside a time for 2 hours that I'm going to focus on my goals. Or that set aside time to say, I'm going to set aside this time because I'm going to focus in prayer. I'm going to be still. I'm going to hear from the Lord. I'm going to work on my business plan, whatever the thing may be. Set aside that time. Fast for a while. You know, some of us fast from food. You know, some of us say, well, I'm going to fast from this time to this time. I'm not going to eat. It's not because all the time that it's got to be about losing weight. Doing that, you're just telling your body, no, you're going to do what I tell you to do, and you're not going to do what you want to do. Delaying self-gratification. And so sometimes we fast from food to do that, you know, to be able to just fast and just be still. And a lot, your body going to act up. It's going to get sick in some cases. You get headaches. Some people get stomach aches, all kind of things. Why? Because the body is, the flesh is rebelling because it said, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. And you're saying, no, we're going to do this. But guess what? As you begin to do it and you continuously do it, then guess what? It becomes easy. It becomes repetitious, easy, pleasure, often habit. Now you have a habit. And now you're in control of your body. You're disciplined. You're disciplined. And it's not just, you know, it's the body, but you're disciplining your time. You're disciplined that you know that you're not going to spend 3-4 hours an evening watching TV. You're going to be doing something else, that you're not going to stay up to 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night because you know that you need your rest. You know that you're going to get up in the morning because in the morning you want to get up early enough, not just to make it to work, but you want to get up early enough to pray or whatever the thing may be. It's whatever your thing is. I'm just giving out examples. And so what we're going to go ahead and do, if you could get a pencil, a pen and paper, this would be good. I want to give us some things to inspire us. I want to give us some things that we could hold on to, some things that we could begin to practice, some things that we could put in place. All of us probably experience, again, having a lack of discipline. And we see it, you know, with the COVID thing, it shut the world down again. It shut things down. And we don't want to be captive. We don't want to be imprisoned in fear. That's another whole nother imprisonment. But people are in fear. People don't want to go. People don't hear Thanksgiving coming up. That's the time of the year where it's really about family, coming together and enjoying a meal and being thankful for the blessings, being thankful for what God is doing in their life. We have lost hope. I was talking to my younger son on this evening, and we were talking, and I was asking him, you know, I know that you're not pursuing your dreams. You haven't spoken a lot of them. You haven't been taking any action. And I said, do you know why? And he was silent for a while. And after he thought about it, he said, yeah. He said, I have to be honest with you. He said, I haven't been as passionate as I have been, because he said, with all the pandemic and the political stuff and all of the corona and all this stuff that's going on in the world, I just don't even know if my dream matters anymore. And that broke my heart. It broke my heart because when he said that, I realized that he's not the only one. He's, you know, that there's many of us, there's many people that with everything that's going on, they've been confined. They've been captive. They've been imprisoned to this agenda that's going on around them, so much so that they in fear. They don't know. They don't want to move. They don't want to leave. They don't want to go out the house. They're scared they're going to get this. They're scared they're going to come in contact with this. You know, and I hear people use the spirit of fear is telling people is wisdom. Jesus. The spirit of fear is so deceptive that it's telling people is wisdom. And there's one thing to be wisdom, but wisdom doesn't come with fear. Wisdom doesn't hold you captive. Wisdom will not imprison you. And many people have have gotten wisdom confused with fear. People are scared. They're in fear. They're scared to go out their doors. People are scared to even come together with their family members because they're scared of being sick. They're scared of, and maybe rightfully so. But what I'm saying is that God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He did not give us a spirit of fear. And we cannot on one hand say we trust God, that God is all omnipotent, that God is all in all, that we trust God, but then on the other hand, operate in fear. Because the two can't come together. So either we trust God, and we could trust for godly wisdom, or we could be living in fear. And so, and because when we're living in fear and we're in captive and we're in prison, guess what? We're not going to live out our God-given dream. Don't you know that the kingdom of God didn't stop because of Corona? The kingdom of God has to move forward. We still got to do our assignment. We still got to do what God called us to do. We can't be in prison. We can't be in fear. We can't. We still got to do what God called us to do. We're on assignment. And whatever that assignment that God has given you, if the assignment is that you need to accomplish this, that you need to get this so that you could do this, then you need to do it. You cannot stop. God didn't stop because of Corona. He didn't stop. His grace didn't stop. His mercy didn't stop. So, and we can't stop. Because we're on kingdom assignment. We're ambassadors. We still got to tell people about the gospel. Just because the church door is closed down don't mean that our assignment to fulfill the Great Commission has. We still got to tell people about the gospel. We still got to minister to people. We still got to love people. We still got to pray for people. We still got to do what we've been called to do. And some of us have gotten lax. You know, some of us were driven. Believe it or not, some people were driven because they needed church. They needed, let me not say church because we are the church, but they needed that building of fellowship. That kept them on track. And they had a habit of that. And now that habit's been broken, some people don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. And so we cannot live in fear. Amen. So let's just get down to, I'm going to go through a quick, you know, I'm just going to go through a quick list. If you got a pen, write it down. It would be good. Again, you could take a look at it, look back on it, and see if it's something. You know, maybe each day you could take one of these and just focus on it, you know, and just say it. But I'm going to give you a list. I've only came up with a list. There's many. But I came up with a list of about 10 items that I want to give you. And what is this list for? Why are we doing this list? Is it just another list? No. It's some things that we could put into play that will help us become more disciplined. That help us become more disciplined. Amen. Self-discipline. Okay? So the first one I want us to start doing is challenge our own excuses. Challenge our own excuses. This is a good one because oftentimes I had to do this more recently. I had to do it because you guys have been following me for many years, and I have this book that was written and finished. It's being done, and I've been saying every spring it's going to come out. Every spring it's going to come out. Well, gosh, I'm getting ready to say a confession. Confession is good for the soul. I had to challenge my excuses because I had a lot of excuses of why that book didn't produce. I had excuses of, well, the people I needed to help me with it, that I paid to help me with it, they didn't do what they were supposed to do. They took off with the money and didn't produce. Excuse, yeah. Good excuse, maybe, but it's nevertheless an excuse. I had the excuse of, well, I don't want to just put it out there and don't use the right marketing and stuff, and I need to be able to try to come up with money to do the marketing. All these excuses that I've been doing for years of why this book did not hit the stand. And more recently, I would say a couple of months ago, I was thinking about this, and I had to challenge these excuses. And as I began to challenge this excuse, I got revelation knowledge. And the revelation knowledge was that Here I am, Coach D. I have a show every Thursday. My show is to encourage. My show is to inspire. My show is to provoke thoughts. My show is to provoke purpose. And so here I am doing all of this. And come, lo and behold, Coach D wasn't releasing that book because Coach D was scared. She was scared to release that book because she was scared of the rejection. She was scared of what people would think. She was scared of the criticism that may take place. So the reality, she was scared of it not being successful. So the enemy began to give her excuses, and she was holding on to those excuses. But guess what? Number one, we're going to challenge our own excuses, and we're going to start looking at them for what they are, and we're going to be able to acknowledge and accept and then make the necessary adjustments accordingly. Amen? Number two, delayed gratification. We have to put in place delayed self-gratification. We are in a world that we have seen, we are being encouraged, we are being pushed for immediate gratification. I want immediate gratification. We got the microwave. It used to be a time where if we had to cook, we had to put something on the stove, and that may take 15, 20 minutes. We had to put stuff in the oven that may take an hour. And, we had to wait. We had to wait. We knew that food was going to be good. Mama's cooking. It's in the oven. She started this morning, and we know that by 4 or 5 o'clock we're going to eat. Delayed self-gratification. Not today. Everything, we could pop it in the microwave, and then 2 minutes, 5 minutes, is done. We want everything, and we want it now. There's no discipline. And there's just no discipline. We want it now. We want marriages now. You see it. We got websites everywhere, dating websites. Get married today. You're going to meet your love of your life. You know, tell us a couple of things about you. Match.com or whatever all this stuff is. Singles meet. And you just go online and you look through a series of pictures and you find somebody in 6 months, 3 months, whatever, you get married. I want it now. It ain't even the point of you want a husband or you want a wife. The point now is I want a marriage. And sometimes we could be so busy trying to be married that we forget to be the wife or we forget to be the husband because we want it now. So delaying self-gratification, disciplining ourselves. One of the ways I said earlier, fasting is a great way to discipline the flesh. Start making the flesh wait. Make it wait. Make it wait. And make it do what you want it to do and not what it want to do. Discipline. If you start doing that's an umbrella. There's a whole lot of things that fall up under that. But if you start disciplining that flesh, a lot of other issues that people face will start being taken under control. Because most of the things that people deal with, whether it be sex, lust, drugs, alcohol, obesity, all of that stuff. You get that flesh discipline, all of that other stuff is not even an issue anymore. Discipline. Number two, that was number two. Number three, make choices in advance. I've always heard growing up, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So make choices in advance. What that means? Make a plan. Stick to the plan. And some things, that looks like meal prepping. If you know that you're trying to eat healthier for the better good of your body so you can get rid of the diseases and the disorders that's taking place in your flesh, you want to eat better. So one of the things that make that successful is making choices in advance. Meal prepping. Maybe on Sunday evening, you get everything, your vegetables and whatever, your fruits, and you begin to meal plan. This is what I'm going to eat Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you get that stuff prepared, and you put it in little Tupperware dishes and put it in your refrigerator or put it in the freezer. So this stuff is all. So now, guess what? You don't have to think about it. One of the biggest failures that I've had in trying to eat healthy or trying to watch my weight is not meal prepping, you know, because when you don't meal prep and you just go to work and you get home, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to eat whatever available, whether that's McDonald's, Jack in the Box, chips, whatever. You're going to eat whatever is available. So you want to make choices in advance. I'm using food and different things, but this works on anything, on anything. Number four, removing temptation. You want to remove the temptation. So another, give an example. If you know chips or soda, if you know that's your temptation, if you set up your mind and you're making a choice in advance, according to number three, then what you're going to do is you're going to go through your calendar. You said, I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to start focusing. Then you need to get rid of those things that you find yourself going to when you know you're getting ready to eat unhealthy. So if you're saying I'm going to eat healthy, but you got a cabinet full of cookies and chips, or you got a refrigerator full of sodas, guess what? You're going to be tempted. And we don't want to tempt ourselves, okay? It's just like if you're doing drugs or act, you don't want to go into environments that's going to cause you to be tempted. Why? Especially not early on, because you haven't disciplined yourself. Once you're disciplined, you may be able to go into those environments and it won't even affect you. But while you're still working on being disciplined, do not tempt yourself. Number five, what you don't do is just as important as what you do. What you don't do is just as important as what you do. So basically, in simplistic language, what that means is if I say I'm exercising, okay, so that's what I do. Okay, let's say I'm walking 2 miles a day. So that's important. Walking 2 miles a day, that's a good thing. That's important if I want to say I want to be healthy. You know, if I want to say I want to lose weight, walking 2 miles is good. That's what I do. But what don't I do? Oftentimes you'll find people, especially on the weight loss journey, is they'll exercise, they walk 3 or 4 or 5 miles. Oh, they're good. But what they don't do is they don't eat healthy. They don't eat right. And from what I've been told through people who are nutritionalists, people who are into health and fitness, is that 80% of it is our intake, what we eat. Only 20% of it is exercise. But if you're spending 80% of your time exercising and only 20% of your time, eating what's good, then you're off balance. And that's why you get frustrated, because you're not getting the results you want and you just toss in the towel. So, again, what you don't do is just as important as what you do. Number six, consistent small habits. Again, we don't have to do anything major. You don't have to just jump off the bridge and say, okay, I'm physical. I'm going to jump off the bridge. I'm going to walk up. Tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to go start a business. That's a great goal to have, but little things. Set realistic expectations, realistic goals. A realistic goal, if you said that you want to get into healthy eating, I'm again, it could go with anything. I'm using this because most people can relate to this. If you're saying that, start off with something simple. Just say, okay, you know what? I'm gonna not do chips and cookies and cakes and desserts. I'm gonna stay away from that. I'm gonna start drinking a gallon of water a day, and I'm gonna get away from the soap. Consistent small habits. Number seven, focus is a muscle you can build. Oftentimes, we do not accomplish the goals that are set before. I mean, discipline is definitely key, or the lack of discipline is a reason. But that even not being disciplined causes us to lose focus. How many of us have started on a project and we lose focus? You know, we start on a project, and before we know it, I've done this where I'm working on a particular project, and before I know it, I didn't lost focus. I didn't got on a phone call. Somebody didn't call. I wanted to make it quick. I told them, hey, I'm busy. And then they started talking. Before I know it, I done got into a full-fledged conversation. I done lost focus. So now the hour that I dedicated to investing in the dream, vision, and idea has now became an hour conversation on the phone. I lost focus. Amen. So we gotta stay focused. Number eight, nutrition, sleep, and exercise are key. Nutrition, sleep, and exercise are key. That's key to any goal. It is, because if we're not eating properly, we're not gonna be at our best. We're not gonna be as alert. We're gonna be sluggish. You know, we're not eating properly. We're eating the wrong foods. If you're overloaded on carbs, guess what? At some point, you're gonna start getting sluggish. You're not gonna be able to focus. If you're not getting your proper rest, then you're not gonna be having energy. Your energy levels are gonna be low. You're not gonna be able to focus. You're not gonna be able to run the long haul. If you're not exercising, all of these things that we don't do, but all of these things are gonna contribute to our success. Because if we are not in good health, I don't care what you're doing. Even if you're rich, if you're not in good health, guess what? I've heard, you know, people say, and I've read articles of celebrities who have gotten sick, I mean, like cancer and just different things. And guess what? They realize that all the money in the world is not more important than their health, because you can't enjoy the money if you don't have good health. Amen? So nutrition, sleep, and exercise is key. We want to be in good health. We want to be around. We want to be able to fulfill the dream. And once the dream comes to pass, we want to be able to enjoy it. We want to be able to see the manifestation of it. So eight is key. Number nine, it's about the habit, not the outcome. The habit, not the outcome. That means is that I need to build a habit of exercise, not build a habit of losing weight. I'm going to say it again. I need to build a habit of exercise, not a habit of losing weight. So if I get so consumed with, and we do this, if I get so consumed with losing weight versus building a habit, I'm never going to lose the weight. So right now, what you would be concerned with, if your goal is to lose weight, then be consumed with the habit. Start building a habit of eating healthier. Start building a habit of exercising. Start building the habit of drinking your water. Start building the habit of the nutrition, sleep, and exercise. If you start building habits in those areas, the outcome is going to come. But don't focus on the outcome. Focus on building the habit. And last but not least, number 10, you can't improve what you don't measure. You can't improve what you don't measure. As you begin to set these goals and you operate in these 10 plans from challenging your excuses, this is, you know, delaying self-gratification, making choices in advance, moving away temptation, making sure that what you do is just as important as what you don't do, consistent small habits, staying focused. Building that muscle of focus so you can stay focused, so you can stay on target, so that you don't lose focus. Because when you're losing focus, then you lose your commitment. You're not sticking to your plan. So we want to stay focused. And so as you begin to do this, you're going to start to develop measurement, and I'm not talking about just the measurement. I'm not talking about measurements of, numbers. I'm talking about you begin to measure. For example, if I said daily I'm going to spend an hour a day dedicated to this second book, my measurement would be this. If I'm spending an hour a day, what do I want to accomplish in that hour, or what can I realistically accomplish in that hour? So I want to set a measurement for myself. So if I say, okay, I'm going to spend an hour a day, and an hour a day, in that hour I could get 10 pages written. That becomes my measurement. That's how I know that, so I'm saying I'm setting an hour, and in that hour I want to do 10 pages. So I could measure. If I'm not accomplishing that 10 page, how do I improve that? Now, it could be that maybe I can't. But let's say it's already been determined that in an hour's time I could do 10 pages. Why is measurement important? Because time management is important. And when we don't have proper time management, then we know, because guess what? We're not accomplishing what we need to accomplish. So we can't improve if we're not measured. If I didn't know that I could do 10 pages in 1 hour, so if I'm in an hour only accomplishing 7 pages, then I know I need to improve because I know that I could accomplish 10. Amen? So we can't improve what we don't measure. So, again, hopefully you wrote these down. They just weren't things you listened to, but these are things we can start implementing in this journey of discipline. As we come through this season, we don't know, and it's not for us to know what the world is, what's gonna happen. You know, with, you know, what's gonna happen with political affairs. We need to be putting our trust in God. We need to realize that we're still on assignment. Our assignment did not change. Those God-given dreams, visions, and ideas that He's given you is still those God-given dreams, visions, and ideas that have to be manifested. We can't lay down. We can't stop. We can't lose passion about the things of God. We can't give up hope. We cannot give up faith. You know, our key thing and what this whole walk is about that we do is a faith walk. Hebrews 11:1 says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. So we got to continue to move forward. We can't be captive. We can't be in prison. We can't say we're not going to do this. We can't sit in our house, we can't sit in the comfort of our homes, closed in, shut down, shut in, waiting to see if Jesus is going to come. Amen? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. It's already at hand. So we got to be doing what we've been called to do and what God has created us to do. We can't lay down. So I want to encourage you on tonight. Hopefully you heard the words. Hopefully you're ready to be disciplined. We don't have to wait to, like the world waits for a New Year's. They make New Year's resolutions. The world waits to December 31st to say they're going to be disciplined that last 2 months. But we got to start now. If you got undisciplined during the pandemic, if you got undisciplined because you've been sitting at home eating in fear because you don't know what's going to happen with the world, we didn't know what was going on. Let's tell the truth. Some of us didn't know what was going on. We didn't know if this was the end. We didn't know if, this is it. It's coming, whatever. We didn't know. And people got in fear. They got entangled in that. You know, we've never seen some of the things that have taken place. You know, especially churches shutting down. And we're hearing these numbers of people dying and all these things. And we were just operating in fear. And we forgot who we belong to. We forgot who we belong to. We forgot who was on the throne. We forgot who has the final say. We began to think that. I think some of us believers began to think that the throne was the White House. We forgot. We done got caught up in politics and voting and all the cares of the world. Snap out of it. Snap out of it. Get back on track. Get back focused. Get back vertically aligned. Get back disciplined. Get back into your prayer closet. Get back into your worship. Get back into hearing what God, thus said the Lord. Let's hear what He's saying. What is He telling you to do today? If He tells you to get on a plane and travel, are you going to tell Him you can't travel because you're scared you're going to catch COVID? If He tells you to go minister to the homeless, are you not going to go because you're scared you're going to catch COVID? Which one is it? You trust Him or you don't? The Word of God says there's no name. There's nothing above the name of Jesus. So do we trust Him or we don't? Amen? Let's get back on target. Father, we just want to thank You for the Word on tonight. We want to thank You for Your encouragement. We want to thank You, Lord, that You love us so much that You refuse to let us sit, be here, and die. Father God, thank you for provoking us to purpose. Thank you for pushing us out of the nest. Thank you, Father God, for reminding us that you are God and God alone, that you are still on the throne, Father God. Thank you for reminding us, Father God, that there is no name above the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for reminding us it's by your grace, that your grace is sufficient, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for reminding us of who we are and whose we are, Father God. Father God, I pray that a spirit of repentance will come. Father, I repent, Father God, for being afraid. I repent for allowing myself to be in prison. I repent, Father God, for being captive. I repent for being undisciplined, Father God. I repent, Father God, for not continuing to do what you call me to do, Father. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you're forgiving, God. We thank you, Father God, that you're a God of second chances and third and fourth and fifth chances. We thank you, Father God, for your grace and mercy, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, Father, that you love us so much, that you chasten us, that you chastise those that you love, Father God, because you want us to be the best version of ourselves, the best version that you created us to be, Father. So I thank you on tonight, Father. I pray for the listening audience on tonight, Lord. I pray that the word has blessed them. Father God, I pray that they not just be hearers, but doers, Father. I pray that we put everything in proper perspective, Lord, and that we walk out, Father God, on faith. Father God, that we begin to dream again, that we begin to live again, Father God. Father God, we thank you for many of us have not been affected. Many of us are in, have not been sick. Many of us have not had to experience. So we thank you, Father, for your grace. We thank you for keeping us, Father God, in good health. Father God, we thank you for just keeping our hearts and minds stayed on you, Lord Jesus. So, Father, we just give you the glory. We give you the honor, Father. And, Lord, I pray that your spirit will pour out on the earth, Father. I pray, Father God, for a spirit of peace, among your children, Father God, that we could get back to business, Father. For, Father God, we know that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So, Father God, cause us to get back to what you called us to, get back to our first love, Father God. Get back to our assignment. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. Ooh, Lord, glory to God. I just thank God that, man, that he loves us, and he's such a good God, and that's not cliche. He truly is. And man, can you imagine him in his position and just sitting and seeing us, his children, scrambling and being uncertain and just, you know, not just in fear and just being captive and, you know, and him wanting us to be free. So tonight, just receive the freedom. Receive the freedom. Receive the freedom that there is in discipline and get back discipline. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us on tonight. Look forward to next Thursday. We got 2 weeks from today that we will be celebrating Thanksgiving. And I'm sure that we'll still have some type of show on Thanksgiving for those of you who will still listen in. I know many are going to be with their families and cooking and eating and being thankful for those that maybe do not have family or who don't have anywhere to go. Again, we will be having some form of show, so feel free to listen in even on Thanksgiving. But next week we will have show at the same time, and I look forward to being with you all next week. Have a great evening. Good night.
I do what you want.